in the options.
Right. Never make someone a priority when all you are to them is an option.
Well,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll. I'm gonna get this framed, and we can just kind of hang it because it does fit us well. Mm-hmm. Hear these words of the gospel. Listen carefully to what I am saying, and be wary of shrewd advice that tells you to get ahead in the world on your own. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes. And then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like a seed thrown on the field by a person who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows, and they have no idea how that happened. The earth does it all without their help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then a ripened grain. And then the grain is fully formed, and the person reaps at harvest time. How can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go. Yet once it is planted, it grows into a huge pine tree with thick branches, so thick that even eagles nest in it. And with many stories like these, he presented his message to them, fitting the stories to their experiences and maturity. Jesus was never without a story when he spoke, and when he was alone with his disciples, he went over everything, sorting out the tangles and untying the knots. Amen. Which makes me wish we were present when he did that, as opposed to being left with what we're left with most of the time, which is just the story. By the way, you all know how parable defines, right? You know what that really translates to? It's a riddle. It's just simply a riddle. And does that make you think a little differently? You know, we always talk about the parables of Jesus, and we talk about them like stories, but it seems to me that Jesus spent most of his ministry giving us riddles. And I think that that is so cool. Because, you know, the church for centuries has tried to give us pat answers. They've tried to give us the way that we had to do things in order for our relationship with God to be okay. The way that we had to live in order to consider ourselves worthy. And yet that's not how Jesus taught at all. Jesus taught with riddles. And riddles means what? You got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You got to figure it out. You got to hear it. So based on that, I have a riddle for you this morning. Amen? Uh-oh. Now, this... and now you're not supposed to answer it. You get to answer it at the end of the message today. But this comes from a pastor in Scotland. So that's the first thing you got to do is frame it in English humor. All right? Here's... And get this, 17% of people who went to Harvard got the answer. 80% of kindergartners got it immediately. Mm-hmm. All right? Hallelujah. Are you ready? Here's the riddle. What is stronger than God, more evil than the devil? Poor people have it, rich people don't need it, and if you eat it, you will die.
One more time.
Okay. What is stronger than God?
Right.
More evil than the devil? Poor people have it. Rich people don't need it. And if you eat it, you will die.
Oh, God. You said the last one I had the answer, but the last one part made me...
Well, since...
Exactly.
It never goes according to plan. So we'll just go ahead and try to figure this out. Okay.
I know the answer, but...
Okay.
What is it?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. nothing is greater than God. And if you eat nothing, you will die.
What is stronger than God? Nothing. What is more evil than the devil?
Nothing.
Poor people have it? Nothing. Rich people don't need it? Nothing. And if you eat it, you will die.
Very good.
Which leads to this. Jesus was trying to tell us with this riddle in the gospel today what the kingdom of God was like, what it was about. And the first thing that he was telling us was that, look, man, it's the little things. It is the little things. Pastor William and I have figured out that some of the organizations in town get too big and they forget that it is indeed the little things. It's the bottle of water. It's the hug. It's the pair of gloves. It is the socks. It is simply somebody telling you that they care. The little things. You know, but we've turned it in to this incredibly complicated thing. You gotta have an ID. You gotta have a permanent address. You gotta have a job history. You gotta have X amount of education. All of that just to get somebody to pay attention to you.
That's good, that's good.
Welcome to my world.
Jesus said, no. It's as simple as planting a seed. Go to bed. Let the seed do what it needs to do. There are four things I'm going to give you this morning. So for those that are writing, have fun. Out of this, first thing to recognize is the most important things in life are invisible. And they are more powerful than anything that you can see. This starts with the Spirit of God, the Spirit that gives us life. The Spirit is wind and breath, and you don't see that. But without it, you can't live. Love cannot be touched. Mercy cannot be touched. Self-respect cannot be touched. You can't see it. All you can do is experience it. It's a small thing. One of the most important and maybe most invisible things that we have when we understand this parable is trust. Where would we be in this world if we don't find a way to trust? If we don't trust ourselves, I'm going to take that phone away from you.
It wasn't my phone the first time.
And I have perfect trust. I trust that despite us being outside, that the message of God gets through every week. You've got to be able to trust where your next meal is coming from. I know there are so many people in this town on the other side of the coin. You know, when we start working with people, and you know, there's all that endless debate. When I went on a little rant this week because I couldn't get somebody into housing. And when I went on that rant, one of the people that responded back said, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not that much into religion and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, sometimes these people that are on the street, they don't want to get off the street. And they probably should go just get a job. And I sat there and I looked at it and I was already angry, right?
Of course.
All right. And this is a buddy of mine. And we always go back and forth about his more conservative approach to things, but it just happened to be when he hit me with that it was like, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you paying attention?
It's not that easy. And then it hit me. Yeah, it is. It is just that easy. If you think these folks should be working, give them a damn job.
Yep.
If you don't think they ought to be working the street, then employ them.
Right.
I don't care whether it's in your yard. You remember, poor Mason, before he got his job? How did he have to count on people to give him work? Of course, the other side of the coin was he had to be looking for it. Amen?
Right. Yeah. Amen. He had to show up and do it.
Amen. But here's the problem. When you've got people out there saying it's just simply getting a job, you know what that tells me? They're not willing to do anything. They don't trust anybody. And that's what this boils down to. It's about trusting. People have a hard time getting a job these days because what? They got to have background checks. They got to do drug tests.
E-verify.
E-verify. They got to be legal or whatever the case might be. It used to be, you could do a hard day's work for a hard day's wage and go home and feel good about yourself. Those days have passed. But maybe they haven't passed. Maybe it's about doing the little things. It's the small things that we do. Number two, the most successful lives and the greatest accomplishments within the kingdom of God itself are based on and arise out of the smallest and least significant things. Folks, those of you who think you got to do these big things in order to contribute to God's kingdom, to God's realm here on earth, don't work so hard. It's just the little things. In the story today, he was talking about the tree that grew up, and it grew up so big that an eagle could make its nest in it. Jesus says in other translations that it's like a mustard seed, so small, yet it grows so large. We, folks, are wired on the big, on the grand, on the flashy. Big cars, big houses, big buildings, huge stages, tremendous sound systems. We are more than impressed by big money, big fame, and big status. And yet, Jesus said that the woman who put two pennies in the offering plate at the synagogue was the one that was blessed. And you remember why he said that? He said because the others gave out of what they could afford. She gave what she couldn't afford. This stuff starts small. Anytime you're trying to figure out here in the church what we're all about and that we ought to be doing more, I want you to go out with us when we hand out the hygiene kits. I want you to be with us as those conversations with those folks happen. Because those are real conversations. That's a little bit of the reality of the world. That's where it starts. It starts with handing out something as simple as a pair of socks.
Yes, sir.
It happens with something as simple as a hug.
That's good.
It happens with something as simple, you stole my line, with a bottle of water. Folks, it happens here every Sunday. Those of you who have been around for a while, you know that you cannot show up to this place and not get a hug from somebody. For those of you who are new, you saw today that you just got sucked right in. Nobody gives you a chance to figure out that you may or may not belong. You don't even get to question that. Those are the little things. And I'm so glad I'm married to him. Number three. And this is for all the curmudgeons in the congregation.
I reject that last remark.
I love you, Chuck. Living out our faith as small as a mustard seed or a pine nut means that we are going to focus on the good and not evil. It means we're going to believe in good and not evil. And you understand, folks, the difference. You can make a choice to be happy or to be sad. You can make a choice to be angry. You can make a choice to be cynical. But what God has given us with this life and this ability to live together is the opportunity to make a choice to look for the good. Amen? And when you're looking for the good, folks, that means you're not worried about what people are wearing. It means that you're not worried about what kind of job they have. Or if they ask for help, you're worried about whether you can get paid back or not. Amen? But the first church that I had was in Toledo, Ohio. And I had a small startup church in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And I was a supervising pastor up there. And, of course, as a new church, they only had about 7-8 people. And they had to pay rent on the building that they were in. And they were wondering where they were going to get the money. Well, there was in Ypsilanti. Ypsilanti is kind of like, it's the entertainment district, shall we say, for Ann Arbor, Michigan. Amen?
Okay.
Okay. You go to Ypsilanti, and there's lots of bars, strip clubs, adult bookstores, etc., etc. They're massage parlors. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? Okay? Hallelujah. Well, there was one of those clubs where the women that worked in those clubs... Now, remember, when I first started out in ministry, I was in a very gay-centric church. Okay? But these women that worked at this particular club, and, you know, their tools for their trade was a pole standing in the middle, and loud music.
Something.
And very little clothing.
That hasn't changed.
Amen. I don't know. I haven't been in for a while. But at any rate, they heard about this little gay church that was trying to feed people. And they decided on their own to do a fundraiser. And they did what they called a naked car wash. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. There they were, out in the parking lot, in all of God's creativity and glory.
Oh my God.
They raised $5,000 and presented it to the church. To which the chairman of my board said, "We cannot take this money." And I said, "And why not?" And they looked at me and said, "This money came from prostitutes. It is sin money." Now, folks, you understand that I've always been a heretic and I've always been too direct. I said, "Well, then it's our job to clean it up. We're taking it." But it's the little things, folks. When we make judgments about people, we don't allow God's Spirit to work. Last point. Recognize that God is the author of all good stuff. Not bad stuff. Hear me? God is the author of all good stuff, not bad stuff. We have a tendency to want to blame God for everything that goes wrong. The stuff that goes wrong is because of choices that we make.
Amen.
God's intention for us is to be in relationship with God, and God will do anything to be in that relationship, including having a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus gave up his life so that we would understand that. If you remember the prodigal son, there is no clear picture of God wanting to be with us than when that boy decides to go back to his father, and that line says, while he was yet a long ways off. Folks, if God in this story was in Vidalia and this kid was in Atlanta, the kid hadn't even got two steps down the connector when God got to him. Understand that God is about good. So if you're concentrating on the bad and complicating things, well, that's on you. So remember this. The best stuff in life is invisible. If you live by faith, by looking at the good, and opening yourself to God, will do the rest. God will bring you into the fullness of God's kingdom. Quit waiting for Jesus to come back again. It's here if you live it. if you live it. And finally, peace and joy can, in fact, be yours if you just recognize that when you just recognize that we shouldn't make the world a priority when the world considers us nothing more than an option. God bless you this morning.